I've chosen a passage of scripture tonight from the 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and I'd like to read the first two verses. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. And it seems like all too often many desire to be with evil men or those who follow after the things of the flesh or the carnal man. But this plainly says to not be envious against the evil men. And it seems like all too often it is a natural inclination of man to follow after the carnal and after the evil, to follow after the things that's wrong. And so perhaps this is why the writer in Proverbs had cause to write this the way he did. And those who are evil, it says, their heart studieth. In other words, they become expert in destruction. And destruction is the things that would literally destroy the things of right and lead us in a way that is not good. And even their lips talk of mischief. And I have another that goes along with that from the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, verses 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And when we analyze this and think upon it, it indeed is wise counsel for any peoples and any time and any disposition of time. And how wise it would be for the youth today and the young to avail ourselves of this particular passage of Scripture as well as many others in the book of Proverbs and other places within the Scriptures. First is to not enter into the path of the wicked and to not go in the way of evil men, and we're even to avoid it and pass not even by it. And yet this is a thing that's ever about us, and we live in a time that is different from any time that has ever been upon the face of the earth. We have Jesus Christ prophesying of our day and saying it would be a day of great trial and tribulation such as would never be upon the earth or will never be again. And we're entering into that very time wherein it will be a great trial. And I believe that some of these things of evil, or maybe a lot of these things are evil, are among the things that are responsible for this time of great trial that can unfold before us. There is much that will take place shortly ahead, and how important it is that each of us walk more closely to God, that we prepare our lives more fully, that we might be able to stand, as even one of the writers in Scriptures said, to be able to stand in the evil day. And I believe we are in a time that could be well be termed the time of the evil day and the days that will be ahead of us. Even though I'm full well aware that there's been evil since the very beginning, there has been an opposition to good, and we each are well aware of that. But in this, we do know that there will be probably more devious ways of sin today than ever there has ever been upon the face of the earth. And even as I had cause to read this afternoon of King Benjamin of old, when he was elaborating upon the various sins to the people, and he says, I cannot even tell you all the ways that you can sin. There are divers ways. He says, I can't even number them all. And if King Benjamin would live today, he would find, no doubt, that he would have more to add to that innumerable number that he had then. Because I am sure that there are more ways of sin, even though many things that have existed from the beginning still exist. One reason I say that is because the devil is full well aware that his time is short, probably much more aware than the average person is. And so he is ever trying to deceive man in more subtle and clever ways than ever before. And not only that, to even make the carnal appealing to the mind of man. I believe that he has that power. And to make that it seems good to do these things. And to even try to excuse oneself in these various things that people like or desire to do, which seemingly might appear to be things of joy from an outward appearance, but are only short-lived in their total joy, because we're full well aware that the really only lasting joy is those things that we pursue that are in harmony with the Scripture. The good, clean things of life, the things that are important for our soul salvation, those are the lasting things of joy. And so this writer of old said concerning the evil men and those things connected with it, to avoid it, pass not by it. And yet man is constantly partaking of these things that he should avoid. And so how careful we must be. We have another passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the 14th verse that I would like to read. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Paul of old asked the question. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? It has absolutely none. And what communion hath light with darkness? They're in complete opposition, totally opposed. So the things of light do not have any communion or any part of the things of darkness. And we know that the rulers or the ruler of darkness of this world is the devil and his host of angels and those with him. And they are what are behind the forces of evil. And so how important it is that we do not follow such as this. Some today have an inclination to like to excuse evil and the things that they would like to pursue. And we know this is another one, the cleverly designed plans of the devil. I would like to read further from the 4th chapter of Proverbs, reading from verses 16 down through 19 this time, and I'll read a bit more of it later, and picking up the little clue to start with here, to avoid the ways of evil men. For he says, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And I believe there are those who really delight into seeing people fall or to do things that are evil. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And I really believe how true this statement is, that many might become such followers of evil and the ways of darkness that they might not even really realize at the total impact and what they're really stumbling over. And this says they know not at what they stumble. And the way of the wicked is darkness. It certainly is not light. And I like the statement that Christ made in John 12:35. Because it too goes very well with this. Jesus, shortly before his crucifixion, had this to say. Yet a little while is the light with you. To his disciples he spoke. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. So many years after this other statement was made, Christ reiterated it. Those that really walk in darkness do not know where they're going. And forever maybe even seeking after pleasurable things and never really ever gaining them. Or seeking after the deviating things of life. And another one I read today, and I won't go much into this one, but this particular one, if you want to read it, it's in the book of Romans, the first chapter. But anyway, it indicates there that man serves the creature more than the Creator. And man becomes deviated and follows after the things of the flesh. And the imaginations of his heart become evil. And he follows after the imaginations of his heart. And this evil that can cause him to fall. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he is the one that we're to follow. In 3 Nephi 5, in the 113th verse through 115, I'd like to read this. The light of the body is the eye. And we're all full well aware of that, that each one of us tonight perceive who is here by our eyes. We know that even the light that is in our room and the light about us, we know this by what we see. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It is these same eyes that we behold the good and the evil in this life. And if our eye be single, if it's pointed toward the good things of life, towards the important things of life, towards the things that are enriching to our soul, then we find that our whole body shall be full of light. And if we walk in the light, we will not stumble. But if we follow after darkness, we shall surely stumble. Even as tonight, without any light outside, we know how much more difficult it is to get around. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. So if our eye beholds evil, and as a result we follow this evil, then our body becomes a recipient of darkness. If therefore the light that in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so with the forces of evil and the forces of darkness is tied to things that are not beneficial to the souls of mankind. They result in heartache and sadness and in distress. And when we analyze really people today, we find that there's much unrest in the nations of the world and in the nation of the United States of America because of the forces of evil. And there's so many ways that really no one in this room is aware. We aren't that much a part of the ways of evil in this life. Even though we behold and see a lot of it, yet there's many things that we might be surprised if we really knew what man was doing. It might be frightening. In fact, I'm sure it would be. If therefore the light that in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man, it don't matter who it is, can serve two masters. You can't serve right and wrong at the same time. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you cannot serve God and the devil at the same time. It is a physical impossibility. And so again, we're dealing with a master deceiver, and that is the devil. And as others have heard me say earlier this year, and I'll say it again, we have underestimated this master deceiver, this one who is a master strategist in the ways of sin. Because he can outline in the cleverest of ways, even those who are desirous of walking in the right way, those who would not yield to the enticements of the flesh or to an adulterous mind, or maybe even use words that are not becoming of a Christian, who would not do that. But yet the devil is working on these people who have high moral standards to try to get a little wedge driven, that we might even be at odds perhaps with one another, that we might feel adverse toward a fellow brother or a sister. That is the way the devil works. And like I said, we really have underestimated him. And again, if we will but yield to the forces of light fully and completely, we can literally bind the forces of the devil, because light has nothing in common with this darkness. I would like to back up a little in this same reading and start with verse 110 and read through 112. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So this is trying to say that the important thing here is not our earthly. Even though we know we must work for a living, we must have sustenance for our body and clothes to wear and a place to live, and it seems like, whether we like it or not, we got to have that thing on four wheels that runs around and is causing a lot of difficulty today. We must needs have our automobile. But really, there may be one time when a lot of these things will not be nearly as important as we place the importance on them today. Because perhaps we may not have all of these things. And there's another trend of thinking that I had laid back in my mind for several times to prepare a sermon upon, which will deal with this very thing. And I will not go into it at this time, perhaps maybe a future sermon, not too long off. But it does tell of a day, one day, when even the highways will be broken up. So really, there's a lot of ways that man can be stopped. And I don't necessarily think that an automobile is evil. And yet, in many ways, it has been used in an evil way. And we're all full well aware of that, without becoming any more explicit than that. It can even be used in other evil ways by using it to excess or a lack of temperance, the same as anything else we pursue. So how careful we must be. And again, when we realize this, it is the devil carefully leading man away. And like he said to start with, it's only by a little flaxen cord will he lead you, till he binds you with his strong cords or his strong chains forever. So we must be careful and rely upon God and Jesus Christ. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. So this is where you and I are to lay up our treasures, is in heaven. And even though it is important that we take care of the physical here, we must realize that number one thing is the spiritual. And you've heard others and myself as well say that we're only here really for a few moments in the lifespan of eternity. And at the most, I could hope on an average life for somewhere in the early 70s, and the ladies could hope for 3 or 4 more years than I could. Some will live beyond that and some won't. But again, that's only a small moment compared to being with Christ and God through eternity. So why waste today? Why waste these 70 some odd years, plus or minus? Use them for the most today, because we may never have the opportunity again. We don't know what we will have tomorrow. We have hopes of many years ahead. But one day these things are going to unfold, as sure as I'm standing here before you. And they're going to unfold in all the exactness that the prophets of old prophesied they would be, including the ones in the Old Testament, including Jesus Christ himself, including all the prophets, whether past or present day. All things that are divinely inspired will surely unfold just as sure as I am here. And in their exactness they will be. And so, lest you and I prepare that we can stand in faith believing and know where that we're to place our trust. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so for man is forever seeking after the things that will take care of the physical and the temporal, and forever is slighting the spiritual. And so how much more time are we going to be allowed to do this as a race of people upon the face of this earth? How much more will be allotted for us to go headlong in this type of thinking? It might be interesting if we knew. I would like to turn back now again to the fourth chapter of Proverbs and read from 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. He's pleading with his son. And these sayings here were those that were empowered by the gift of the Holy Ghost, I'm sure. And so he wants his son to follow these things. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And so really, man can be far happier by following the things of God. And I didn't really have this down to look it up, but it's in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read it tonight. Verse 8, if we do certain things in order as they're supposed to be, and I won't go into the detail of all that takes place before this, but there are certain requirements of man to do, and these initially tied around a proper fast to the Lord and the things we are to pursue and the things of life that we and I are to do. And if we do these things as we should do, it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And did you hear what it said there? And thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. And over here I just read, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. And it other said that thy health shall spring forth speedily. And so you see, these two writers, separated by many years, well agreed on this very phase. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So how important it is that we watch what we say, what we follow, that we follow after the good things of life, that we might have within us a pure heart and a pure mind. For out of our heart are the issues of life. You are known by what's within your heart and within your mind. That constitutes your character makeup, the type of person you are. Put away from thee a froward mouth. And froward is a habitually disposed to disobedience. Those who by habit follow disobedience. Put away that, it says. And put away perverse lips. Put them far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. And yet today, no matter where you look, there are enticing things to draw people in, to want them to follow after the ways of sin. Even the simple little ads you see in the paper of two lovely young people and a white line under each eye. I guess you've probably seen it. used to be they'd rather fight than switch, and I really don't know what the other one says. But anyway, it's a clever way to deceive the young. The older ones, maybe not so much, but it's a clever way to be inciting to the young people, like, this is the thing to do. And it is not the right thing. And there's many other things that are used to enhance the carnal, to dwell upon the carnal mind. And it's constantly, it's in our newspapers and books, on radios and televisions and movies, in schools, it's among people you associate with at work and other places. And so how careful we must be. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. It may not be easy, but it isn't impossible to do it. Ponder the path of thy feet. In other words, we're carefully consider what we're going to do and what we're going to partake of. And that's what pondering is. And let all thy ways be established, and they must be established in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we must become Christ-centered if we're really going to stand, that's for sure. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. I believe it was last Sunday we heard a speaker speak considerable on the book of Proverbs. And I don't intend to speak too much more from it, but I certainly could complete the sermon tonight out of this very book, because there's so much wisdom contained in it. We find a group of people, though, many years preceding this, who did not avail themselves of Scripture's existing. And it's found in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. It is kind of one of the sad things of life, if there ever was one. We drop on down to verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's what had happened not too long after creation, maybe 1,500 years, a little over that, not quite 1,600 anyway. Anyway, man had become in this state because he thought of the evil, and it said here that the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And this saddened God, and he repented him that he had made man. And he was about to destroy man upon the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in his sight and 7 other souls. And for this reason, he didn't destroy every man upon the face of the earth. And if we'd go on down in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. I want to make an impact of that upon your mind tonight. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, saving those 8 souls. And somewhere it mentions about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. I believe it was 120 years, and he availed his own soul and 7 others. And this is something to think about. And why I brought that out is because one of the people of old, and that was Jesus Christ, prophesied of our day and said, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. It would have a type of that day. As they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, so was it in that day. And not only the other type was, but I believe equally as important, that it would be a day of great wickedness. And the imaginations of the hearts of the children of men were evil, or are evil, all too often. And the earth is becoming corrupt, and the earth is becoming filled with violence. And yet I full well realize, I'm confident, there's more than 8 souls today upon the face of this earth. is walking at least a reasonable, goodly life. And yet in all this day, one of the fears I have, and that is that all too often is that we might be listed as the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. But while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And so this has gave me a lot of concern through the years. Are we really alert as a people as we should be? I would like you each to ask your own self that question. Am I alert as I should be of what is going on about us? Am I really trying to serve God as I should? Am I completely dedicated to Jesus Christ as I should be? You know, as ironic as it may seem, 2 weeks from this evening will be the final sermon of the Colorado Reunion. But before that, we'll have a couple of days, a little over, of prayer services and preaching services, and of fellowship together, and of singing songs together. And I hope we utilize them fully. And I hope in less than 2 weeks that you and I might prepare our minds fully enough that we might be more receptive to the workings of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure, as I'm standing here, that God has certain things that He would desire for each of us to know. As was brought out in the sermon this morning, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God doeth nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. And I believe that, and that wasn't something that was this unique in the day of Isaiah, or unique in the day of Noah or Adam. It is right down to the very end of time will our Heavenly Father reveal His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. But there can be things on the face of the earth that can even cover the seers and the prophets. And man can get in such an attitude that the Lord will not even speak with them. And so man must get closer to God. So how careful we must be. I would like to read from 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter. And this is found in verses 73 through 85. O my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. O my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. And so Nephi of old spoke to his brethren with all the fervency of his heart. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you. And all too often his brethren did say, thou hast spoken hard things against us. They're hard to follow. He says, don't say this. For if you do, you will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker. And that's of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness. But the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. So really the things that hurt in this life, the things of truth, are hard against sin and evil. But those who are following God, they love Him. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that His paths are righteousness and none other way. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before Him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and He employeth no servant there. And there is none other way save it be by the gate, and this gate is baptism. For He cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is His name. And whoso knocketh, to him will He open. And the wise and the learned and they that are rich who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despises. Now that's plain. And there are those today as well as then who are puffed up because of their riches. And say they shall cast these things away. In other words, we must put our trust in the living God and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever. In other words, these wise things, the important things, will be hid from those who walk in the darkness. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. And there is happiness prepared for the saints, far over and above anything that man has partaken of. And even as Nephi and Lehi of old saw that tree of life, and when they partook of it, they saw that it was a joyous, happy occasion. It was a representation of the love of God, the most important gift that God can give to the children of men is his love and the love we should have for one another. I'd like to turn back again to the 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs and read the first 7 verses. I believe it's the 4th chapter instead of the 24th, though. Somebody's following it. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. And this is wise advice. He said, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And this is really why we're here tonight. We should keep the commandments of the Lord and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. We want wisdom that will help us to deal wisely with all the problems of life. We need an understanding of the Scriptures and the words of God that will point us on that straight and narrow way that will cause us to be able to partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and that is the things of wisdom and understanding, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's valuable in our lives. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And we need to have an understanding heart, a considerate heart. We need to have a deep-seated understanding of the Scriptures that will help us to stand in this day that is spoken of as being an evil day. I did skip one that I was going to read out of the 24th chapter of Proverbs. It's found in verses 3 through 6. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and to establish it's made firm. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we see the knowledge of the Scriptures are vital. We see the wisdom is vital in our lives. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And so if we really want this thing that will help us to make our war today, to be able to stand firmly against the forces of evil, it will be because we avail ourselves of this wisdom and the understanding of the Lord. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so, when we take the Scriptures, there is a multitude of counsel contained in them. And it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so it's something to think about. I'd like to turn to 2 Nephi 12:34 and read through 39. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness. And he'd been speaking concerning the words of God and different things that man should do. And the rock, we know if we're built upon the rock of Jesus Christ and his words that he had, then it will be a thing that will be beneficial to us. He that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. So this clearly indicates here that God is no respecter of persons, and he will speak unto man to the very end of time. And those who feel that only a small amount of scripture was given at one time are mistaken. No matter who they are, whether it be us or anybody else, because there is many things that will be given. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. This thing we've been talking about, this vital to have in our life. So if we really hearken unto the counsels of God, we shall get this. And I said, in the multitude of counsels, there is safety. See, it all ties together. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. So if we receive the word of God, he will give more. And from them that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. And so how careful we must tread. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. So we can hearken unto man if his precepts are given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Just the same as the writer in Proverbs says, keep my words, and his precepts were given by the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is what this says here. But we are not to hearken unto the precepts of men, save these precepts are given by the power of the Holy Ghost. I have a little one I jotted down here from Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So the word of the Lord is tried. It is true. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, and read verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And this is a thing that man must realize. And all too often in our trainings and in our schoolings and our occupations, we think we're maybe self-contained when really we aren't. For it says here, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It isn't the things that we're equal with that we're warring against. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If we're going to stand in this day, the weapons of our warfare must not be carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we can pull down the strongholds of God if our weapons are this way. Casting down imaginations. And haven't we read tonight where there were people who the thoughts and the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. And we find it even pinpoints that right down to the day we live in. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So everything that we have should be into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so, like I said earlier, we should become Jesus Christ centered for sure. We should build around Him. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And our obedience to Jesus Christ is fulfilled, then we'll be able to avenge all disobedience. And when we really have our obedience completely in Jesus Christ, then we're going back. The warfare that we have and our weapons will not be carnal, but they will be mighty through God in pulling down strongholds. I have one other closing passage of scripture from 2 Nephi 12, verses 76 through 78. For behold, except ye shall